The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I don't know whether 2016 has been a good year for you or not. I'm sure there'll be some great things that have happened in your life, but there may well have been some sadness as well. But I suspect across the country, 2016 will be remembered for a couple of things. Firstly, for the number of celebrities who seem to have passed away this year. People who've been significant in music, sport, comedy, acting, broadcasting, even weather forecasting, who are no longer with us. And they've kind of become part of our lives. And so losing them still kind of touches us, it still affects us. We're touched by their lives and their deaths. But secondly, this has been a year of voting. There have been elections and polls on a wide range of things, with the cry repeatedly going up, "You can't trust them, so vote for me instead." There have been massive choices to make over who we want to lead us. Is that going to be the United Kingdom Parliament or the EU? And following that referendum, there were leadership elections in a number of political parties. Did the Conservatives want Theresa May or Andrea Leadsom? Eventually, they were the final two after a succession of votes before Andrea dropped out, allowing Theresa May to become our Prime Minister. Did the Labour Party want Jeremy Corbyn or Owen Smith? United Kingdom Independence Party enjoyed the process so much, they had two leadership elections just in the last 6 months. But it's not just in the UK. There's also that decision of the leader of the free world, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And perhaps the most significant of all the votes, who is it that will get to lift the glitter ball? Danny, Louise or Ore? Now, all of those votes have happened. The results are decided. You may or may not be happy with the outcome. But however you feel about the outcome of those, there has been a disturbing trend, not so much in Strictly, but in the others, of that repeated accusation about the way people have campaigned, the things that are thrown, saying the other side, they are liars. You're a liar. You can't trust what they're saying. The facts that are being cited end up having no foundation. Misinformation being spread, it seems to become endemic. And it all ends up as the ends justifying the means. Donald Trump, following his election to be the next president of the United States, was asked, do you feel that the language, the lies, the exaggeration went too far? And he said, well, no, we won. See, there's part of me that wants to chuckle and there's part of me that wants to be appalled at that. There have been false claims, impossible promises and downright lies told on each side in so many campaigns. Now, each year, the Oxford English Dictionary declares a word of the year. They choose a word or a short phrase that captures the spirit of the age. From 2004, this is the list that they have chosen. And you'll see some of them came, glowed brightly for a year and then went. Others have kind of stuck. So in 2004, it was Chav. The next year, Sudoku. 2006, Bothered. Carbon Footprint. Credit Crunch. Simpers. Big Society. Squeezed Middle. Omnishambles. Selfie. Vape. And last year, they couldn't even find a word. It was a smiley face with tears of joy. The emoji became the word of the year. So this year, what have they chosen as the word that represents the spirit of 2016, both in the UK and in the US? It's the phrase post-truth. Particularly in reference to politics, but beyond that as well. They explained it as seeming like we're living in a time where the concept of truth seems to have become unimportant or irrelevant. But I'm not sure that's quite right, because most of us don't feel that way. And if truth were no longer important, then there'd be no point in them going, you're lying, because that would no longer matter. If truth were no longer important, people wouldn't seek to justify themselves. They're lying, I'm merely exaggerating. But it leaves us knowing truth matters, but not necessarily knowing who or what we can believe anymore. Because you see, we know truth matters. If I go to the doctor, I don't want her to tell me what she thinks I want to hear. I don't want a platitude to give me comfort. I want to know the truth. If I need an operation, then much as I wouldn't like that, I'd rather know, have it done and get better than carry on in ignorance. Or perhaps if an architect is designing a home, then it's important that the design is true to the principles of construction. They can't just design something and hope for the best. It matters that we can trust the police when there's lies and cover-ups, and we've heard a lot about that this year, particularly with Hillsborough. It damages our confidence in those that we might find we have to turn to in a time of crisis. And truth even matters when it comes to our politicians. That's our local MP, Mark Prisk. We need to be able to trust our politicians to keep their word, to inform us of what's going on and to behave properly. Now, we may well have seen a lot of that trust damaged on all sides of the political divide, but it pains us because deep down we know truth still matters. Jonathan Friedland, writing in The Guardian on Friday, said, what's so odd about this idea of being post-truth is that we're happy to accept that there are facts and judges of facts in other aspects of our lives. He quotes the philosopher Kassim Kassam, who said, if a car mechanic says your brakes have broken, you don't denounce him as biased and drive on. You listen. If a doctor says you have a tumour, you don't mock him as a member of the medical elite. We even accept expert judgment on reality TV. No one minds Mary Berry deciding who should win Bake Off. The poem that Kathy read to us earlier, we heard, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And without truth, there can be no justice. And without justice, there can be no peace. And so hate will prevail. So where can we find truth? Where is there someone we can believe in who won't let us down, who'll be faithful to his promises and reliable in what he tells us? And the answer comes in the words of that first reading that Deirdre brought us this evening. When John, one of Jesus' closest friends, wrote an account of Jesus' life, he started with those words that Deirdre read. And in speaking about Jesus, John describes him in incredible terms. He says, he is the Word, that is God himself, who became human and lived here on earth among us. John says, well, I saw his glory. And then he says that Jesus came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John is claiming that for his friend, saying, if you want to see someone who embodies truth, my mate is the person you should look at. So is John being biased? Or is he telling the truth? Later on, Jesus himself claimed that he was the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father, that is God, except through him. Jesus isn't just claiming to tell the truth, he's claiming to be the truth. He says, I'm the one that you can test everything by to see whether that is true. Now that's remarkable. It might seem to be an outlandish claim unless it's actually true. And from the first moment as a baby in Bethlehem, Jesus was under threat. Herod tried to kill him. There were challenges to him on his life throughout the 3 years of his public teaching. He lived under the shadow of the cross. He faced extreme pressure and stress, and yet never fell into lies or violence or doing anything wrong. In 2,000 years, no one has improved on the morality that Jesus taught and that Jesus lived by. You can read accounts of his life in the Bible and from historians, and yet no one can show him to be false. And eventually Jesus died for those claims that he made. They were uncomfortable claims, and from anyone else would have been bordering on evil or insanity. However affected we may have been by celebrity deaths this year, or even other deaths, the death of Jesus was one that really counts. It really does and can touch every one of us. He faced the justice for our lies and everything else that we've done wrong. So in our broken and post-truth world, don't we long for someone who can be truth again? Through his life, death, and in his resurrection, Jesus continued to embody the truth. And he's someone that we can follow. See, 600 years before Jesus was born, there was a prophet called Isaiah, and he said that a child would be born and the government would be on his shoulders, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the claim of Christmas is that that baby was Jesus. That he grew up to be those things, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He was all of that and more. Now if that even might be true, it's got to be worth investigating. And we'd love you to join us as we explore some of those questions early in the new year. We're going to be running a course called Alpha, and you'll find one of these leaflets either in the pocket just in front of you or the one to one side or the other. And over 10 weeks, we're going to look at Jesus and the movement that he started to see whether Jesus really was the truth. Each night we'll have a meal together. There'll be a short talk and then a chance to discuss together. There's no cost to coming along. You might even want to come for the first night just to try it out and see whether you like it or not. What would really help us, because as I say, we start with a meal, is you'll find a form just at the bottom of that. If you could fill that in and let us know if you're coming, then it means we can make sure there's food for you. Because we'd hate you to go hungry, and I'm not giving up my dinner. So do fill that in. Let us have it so that you can come along, eat with us, and see whether this might be for you. But for some of us here tonight, as you've listened, as you've sung, as you've heard the prayers, the readings, there's something that's just gone, actually, this does seem to be true. And actually, I want to put my trust in Jesus as being the truth. And if that's you, I'm going to pray in a moment as if I was giving my life over to Jesus for the first time. And if, as I go through it, you think, actually, yeah, now I can pray that prayer, then just add your amen at the end of it. And if you do that, or you'd just like to know more, come and see me afterwards. I've got a number of these little booklets that just explain a little more fully what I've been talking about this evening and what you've heard and sung. So shall we pray? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for coming to this earth to be God with us. Thank you for living among us and dying for us to take the blame for what we have done wrong. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong and the times I've shut you out of my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong and hold on to you as the truth. Thank you for your offer of forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift so that I can live with you forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.